Teddy has filched a bottle of wassail from his dad's cellar. He pours it out like it's liquid gold, and we each take a thimble-sized glass. To us, he says, smiling at Sol and me, the three best friends that ever were, to unshakable loyalty and unbreakable bonds, happy Whitsuntide. Sol drums the floorboards with his heels, his cheeks glowing. I love them both so much. I want to stay in this moment forever. The three of us, together and young and happy. I look thread-wise, refocusing my eyes slightly to see the metal floating around us, silvery strands of life force. I'm no witch, but I can see metal and recognise who or where it came from in the same way I can track a rabbit or a fox in the woods. The metal between the three of us is connected, intricately braided together over the years of our friendship. We're inseparable, and that's the way I want it to stay. They're waiting for me. I clink my glass against each of theirs, careful to make eye contact as I do so. The wassail is as strong as it always is, all cloves and hyssop, and we each wince and gag, swallowing it like medicine. Teddy holds out the bottle. More? Sol makes a face. Ugh, no. Mary? I shake my head. Even that one thimble-sized glass is enough to make me feel warm and a bit blurry around the edges. But Teddy refills his own glass and downs it in one gulp. We are ensconced in the sitting room in the house where Sol lives with his aunt, surrounded by open chip packets and cans of fizzy drink. We've been playing Toolbird, an enchanted Ilium set where the king piece crumbles to dust when he is captured, and the maidens stain red if they get captured by a liegeman. We've been here since mid-afternoon, and Teddy and Sol have filled the air with the musky scent of teenage boy. I get up and open a window, breathing in the sweetness of the night. In the distance, I hear the faint jingling of bells and the tramping of feet. Whitsun Eve is our night. Our families are always off celebrating either at the Rose and Crown or, in Dar's case, at the Freighter House with the other toad men. It's a night steeped in ancient tradition, and we have our own traditions too. Battered haddock, scampi and scallops, with chips and mushy peas from Branwen's fish shop. Cans of red currant fizz and packets of cheese puffs. We play games and just generally flop around and enjoy knowing that school is over and we have the whole glorious summer stretching before us. We should go camping, I say, up to Dryad Saddle or further to Fish Creek. We could leave the day after tomorrow. Watch your king, Sol murmurs to Teddy. I can't go until next Thursday, Teddy says, moving his king piece behind the shield wall. Why not? I sidle another maiden into position. He hesitates for just a moment before answering. I'm needed at the forge. Something in his tone is off. Teddy's a terrible liar. I look over at Sol, who's busy studying the board, and I get a sudden, awful feeling that they're hiding something for me. I thought Wayland was giving you the whole summer off, I say. Teddy shrugs. It's just a few extra days. We can go on Friday, Sol says. The forecast says it will rain this weekend anyway. I vote for Dryad Saddle. We'll see if the damson plum is fruiting this year, and we can explore more of the cave we found behind the falls. Sounds good to me. Teddy turns another of my maidens red, and Sol slips his black raven around the edge of the board where there's a gap in Teddy's shield wall. The tension leaves my shoulders as I remember last summer, our lips and fingers stained purple from damson, lazing by the banks of the Myra and falling asleep under the stars. You'll never get through, Teddy informs me, capturing another maiden. Admit it, I win. I glance at Sol, whose mouth twitches in a suppressed smile. Never, I tell Teddy. A shield maiden fights to the end. He laughs. Oh, Mary, he says, always so competitive. Is being joint ducks of our school not enough for you? He leans on the word joint because he knows it rankles. Never before in the history of Candlecott School have there been two duckses. I'm certain that I'm the right one and that Caraway Boswell's father increased his endowment because he couldn't stand the idea of his precious son coming second. Teddy takes advantage of my brief moment of seething resentment and turns my last maiden red. He lets out a shout of triumph. Bow before your king. I curtsy theatrically. A mighty show of strength, my lord. Just not quite enough. Teddy looks back down at the board as Sol moves his raven into the castle. Teddy swears good-naturedly as his king crumbles into glittering black dust.